All right, welcome back to another episode of our little show that we're doing here. It's our second episode and probably final episode on the book Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. I'm joined with my friends Caden.
Hello.
And Laura.
Hello.
And so last time we did this, we covered the first about 10 chapters, which included Bill Bryson and his friend Katz starting their journey on the Appalachian Trail and doing some stuff like that to the point where they got stuck in a snowstorm up at one point in the mountains. And the second part of our show that we're doing now is pretty much chapters 11 through the end of the book, which is about 24 or something along those numbers. And in that amount of time, they do a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff happens. They finished their first part of the trail, which ended up being a lot more than what they expected, simply because they skipped a lot of it.
Honestly, I didn't like the second part as much as the first part.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it wasn't, I don't know, I like camping, like in a tent and stuff, and that's the first part. And the second part, he wasn't even with cats, and then he was just driving, hiking, walking back to his car, driving,
going
hiking.
Going home, and, yeah.
Yeah, well, they also skipped, like, a lot.
Yeah, they skipped a lot.
Because they got to a certain point and
realized they moved only two inches on a map of the
full AP, AT. And, so they jump up to, like, what, Virginia or something like that?
Yeah.
And then continue on for a little bit longer, end in, like, May. Katz goes back to work. Bill goes back home. He does some stuff over the summer. Doesn't really like it. And then they start to try and finish the AT up in Maine, and then
they decide
we're not done anymore. And it's like the first last time that they ever hiked.
Yeah.
So, taking one of those last things, the part about during the summer, whenever it was middle of summer, and Bill almost dies of hypothermia. That just blew my mind.
Yeah.
The fact that you can be middle of summer in those mountains and almost die of hypothermia.
The rain.
It's terrifying to think about.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Because, like, no one's going to find you. At least
not for a while. Like, that, the two chicks that got followed and murdered.
Yeah.
And, like, that, they didn't know about
it
for, like.
That was 2 weeks after he. They stayed in that hut, and then 2 weeks later, those girls were staying there. They went down to a town or something like that, mm-hmm. got followed back there, and were then found, like, 2 days later.
Yeah.
Hogtied. With their throats cut.
Oh.
Yeah,
that was insane. Freaked me out.
So nasty.
And it was like, I was just there.
Oh, that's cool.
That kind of stuff just freaks me out. Again, it comes back to the whole dangers on the
trail.
Wasn't
he alone at that point, too? Wasn't that after they split up, or was Katz still
I think,
there?
He wasn't with Katz. I think he was with, I think he was with that doctor.
Oh, yeah.
His. Or it may have been somebody like that. Maybe it's, it was
yeah,
somebody.
I don't remember
no,
really
there,
his name.
There was somebody that he met up with.
Yeah, we all know who you're talking about.
It was, I don't know if it was a doctor person or if it was somebody that he met on the trail. Mm.
Yeah, he stayed with him for like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they stayed together for a couple. I think it was just kind of off and on and stuff. Because I think it was that doctor because after he finished with Katz and he was just doing the driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just a doctor. But the other thing about that one mountain that he almost had hypothermia on was the wind speed. They recorded on there. I don't know if y'all remember
that.
Oh,
yeah. It was
the fastest wind speed recorded on Earth. Like, 230-something miles per hour that the doctor, the meteorologist recorded up there. That's faster than, like, anybody's ever recorded in a hurricane. Imagine standing up there on a small little ledge of a mountain. Because that's on the mountaintops where you fall one way or the other. Yeah.
That's terrifying. I mean, God, what's the wind chill for something like that? Winds that fast?
I think this is,
especially if it's all wet.
May the 40s.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I mean, that mountain was pretty crazy because he said that he went up there. I think they said they went up there one more time, but they were more prepared. And after they went up there, it was a nice, like, warm day, like, in, like, the 60s or something down below. They got up there, and it was, like, in the 30s, 20s, something like that. They got back down, and it was back in the 60s mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
And sunny. Like, the fact that you can go from the bottom of the mountain to the top mountain, and it's almost like going through two different, totally different continents. Like, you're in South America and then in Antarctica just by climbing a mountain.
What I would have hated was that one point where they went, they found, they got reached like the swampy area or whatever. That would have sucked, but I thought it was funny because it took him like 15 minutes to cross because he kept falling.
Yeah, and then like the two guys people, come in,
and they just lift their packs, take the pack walk and over in 30 seconds. That was so funny. I liked that part of the book.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. That was kind of one of the first signs, I think, for them that they were done.
Yeah.
The one thing that really freaked me out though, that I was sure Cass was gonna be dead.
Oh yeah.
So sure Bill was gonna walk around some turn and just find Cass dead, or look over a cliff and find Cass dead.
I didn't think he was just ever gonna find him. I thought he was gonna be
literally
dead.
Literally, I thought that was the book. Him. I was like, he's not gonna find Cass.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh my god, because when at first it was like he just lost him for a few hours. He was like looking for him. Like he went back and he couldn't find him. He was like, okay. Well, I'm sure it'll turn up. And I was like, oh my god, Cats is dead or he's lost. Like, I thought the worst.
Well, he mentioned he was going to walk over to cliff. And I was like, oh, he's going to go over this cliff. And Cats is going to be stuck down there, like, hanging by his pack. From
No, but he said, like, he wouldn't be able to see if he was down that cliff or not. Because the fog was so
intense. I don't know if it was fog or if it was mist. Smog. I think it was some smog. But
what I really thought was Cats died. He got drunk and fell off a cliff.
That's when he started drinking again.
Yeah.
What was it before or after that they had that fight about him drinking again?
It was after.
It was after that? Because he went back and then he fell into the... He had been like a party guy before when they knew each other before in like high school and everything, and then he kind of like stopped doing that. And then whenever he finished the first part of the AT Bill, he went back to that job building houses.
Yeah, he got
and all the workers were like going to that tavern and they were drinking. He kind of felt left out.
Yeah, because he had to stay home and eat some TV dinners.
Yeah.
That were nasty.
Yeah, I did like the first part more than the second part. Just because I loved whenever he was talking about like the camping and stuff and like just being in the woods and like talking about, it doesn't sound like it'd be interesting, like, I'm tired of walking, or, like, my limbs hurt, or, like, I'm aching, you know, like, things like that, like, that's what I first imagined. When Mr. Quinlan assigned the book, I was like, god, this is gonna be so boring, but, like, just the way he described, like, the feeling that he'd get whenever he, like, reached, like, a peak, and then, like, it was like, oh, this is awesome, like, we're almost there, we're, like, getting somewhere, and then he'd look up, and there'd be, like,
another one,
another mountain to climb, and
and he definitely lost, they both lost their drive.
See, that's a good question there, is that, would you, if you did something like that, would you be able to restart again? Like,
eventually he was going to reach Mountain Kawaka, whatever it was called.
Something like that. But
Kuwait.
Yeah, something like that. But if it was y'all and you walked for that amount of time, you did that amount of time walking, finding out there was only 2 inches on the true map that you actually walked, and then skipping that much and then continuing going, would you be able to stop and then restart again?
Like, no, probably not.
Like, of course I want to say, like, yeah, like, that if, let's say, like, we had unlimited, like, resources, like, if I could, this is a lot of money. Paying for all the equipment, paying for, like, motels every time you reach a place to stay every couple days or weeks, whatever, however much you want to go into civilization, like, all this costs money. And, like, so if I had the endless amount of money that I wanted to be able to do this trail with friends, then maybe I would do it. And I say that now, not knowing what it's like to be in the woods for several days. You know, like, it would be, like, really cool to say, yeah, I've walked the entire Appalachian Trail. But, like, just, it really does seem impossible when you take in the factors of, like, money and time it takes just to do something like that. Yeah,
plus you're going to, I mean, I know there are a lot of old people that did it, but you'd be older, and so you wouldn't, like, be as in. He's probably in really good shape towards the end of the first part. Mm-hmm. And then he like, talked about how much he lost it. And it was like, there's that, too. Like, I wouldn't want to stop just because I know I'm going to be out of shape and stuff. But I guess if you have a job, then you kind of have to.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you have other priorities, like, in different places. Like, he has a wife, you know? Yeah, like, he has family. Like,
barely taught.
Yeah, like, it's...
It's yeah, that's something I mentioned last time that I still think would just... If I was the spouse sitting at home, that would freak me out, not knowing if they're alive or not. Because, I mean, the fact that you can go up there and you can be killed by a snake, by a bear, you can fall off a cliff, you can be hit by a tree, you can be killed yourself by some random dude. I mean, that would freak me out to know that.
I'd definitely be worrying about my spouse. Yeah.
That would freak me out just because...
Those
phone calls home that they probably made were probably the best things ever for his wife.
And for him.
Yeah, that was, I think, really nice. He said, I think he said it himself. It was like, it was like getting back in touch with society and making those phone calls were always just a great thing to do.
I bet you going to the motels was definitely the best part. Because you even talked about how you got to watch TV and they got to eat like real meals and not just noodles.
But it did sound though at the end that it kind of got mundane. Because he kind of started mentioning at the end that it was like, it was just the same thing over and over at each motel. It'd be you go in, you get clean, you get fresh food, you call home, and you're back on the trail tomorrow.
Yeah.
It just, and then that would another thing. I think that would make it even harder to. That sounded like it was kind of toward the end. He made it sound like it was starting to get really difficult to do that because he mentioned that it was like kind of a mundane process it became, and then whenever he would go get back on the trail, it would take like 4 days to get back in your rhythm. The first day, you'd be pretty tired, and you'd be wanting that food. And the next day, you would kind of be wanting that food. Yeah, and then you'd not really want the food. And then you just have no appetite, and you'd force yourself to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like at the beginning, whenever he first started doing the trail, those stops were, like, heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he soon, I think he eventually realized they were a bit of a...
A setback
because they stop you. They stop you and they get you. Yeah. They get you. Your brain immediately clicks back in, like, oh, this is what I'm used to now, and this is not the hard life that I'm having to live now.
Yeah, it's like having to reset like every couple days. You have to go back into like the crap.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Really.
Like, that makes it even harder. I feel like rather than I know that would suck way more to just walk through the trail, but like what's worse, like going through it the entire time or having to go in out. Like it's nice because you get to like relax for a little bit, but like then you have to go back and you have to force yourself out. And sometimes that's even worse.
Yeah.
It sounded like it just continuously got worse and worse each time he did it. But they did make it seem like it was really nice though to just see civilization because what. They got to, I don't know if it was with him or if it was with Cass or with the doctor, that they got to, like, some ridge and they looked off and it was, like, 8 miles away and there was just a town there and they were, like, so happy to see the town.
That was with the doctor, I think.
And that was with the doctor, yeah. With the doctor.
Could you imagine, though, like, going few or several days sleeping on the ground and you get used to it and then you go to the hotel and you sleep in a bed and it's, like, so comfy.
No matter how bad that bed is.
Yeah.
It's, like, people from, like, Iraq and they're, like, the bed is like a marshmallow or like something really soft, and then you go back out there and that ground is probably so hard.
Well, they have those tarp stuff that I see. That's the thing that I know myself I'd have problems with is my back sleeping.
Yeah. Oh,
because I have enough problems in this bed alone right here. I wake up in the morning sometimes and my shoulder here, it's torn. It's partially torn, so that gives me problems anyway. But I'll be waking up now, and I think it's because I need to flip this mattress anyway, but I'll wake up, and I'll be like, okay, my entire, like, right side of my body is just, like, stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd definitely be sleeping in an Eno.
Yeah. I would try my best to sleep in an Eno. That would be
the most comfortable option. Oh,
that
would be nice.
I didn't even think about that. It would be cold.
Well, you can get a sleeping bag. What you would do, you get a sleeping bag in there. Mm-hmm. You'd climb up in there, like, let's see. Well, you sit on the edge of the, you know, pull the sleeping bag up, and then like throw your legs over.
That's a lot less protection, though.
It is. That's the whole problem.
Suspended. That's good.
But the thing is that you're not gonna be that much suspended off the ground that a bear can't come in just like knock you over.
True.
Not to mention just bite you.
I don't think they're
holes in your tent and then hang them from a tree.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I can see that. Cutting holes through the side and hanging the Eno in the inside. That's not... I can see that.
And then you'll be wet or dry if it rains.
Then you'll be wet.
And then dry if it rains.
Yeah. That was the other thing I was surprised with is that he never saw any of those animals. He mentioned at the end all those animals.
The closest he saw was, like, the eyes, like, 3 feet off the ground, he said, and there were, like, two, but he couldn't tell.
Like, yeah, there was, like, the two pairs of eyes down there by the water.
And he thought it was a bear.
Well, he did... Didn't he say he did see a moose, though? They did watch
a moose. Yeah, see a moose.
But he went in through the end, though, and at the end he mentioned, like, the salamander that he was really wanting to see down the Smokies or something like that. He never saw that. That was the one thing I think really he was really disappointed about was not seeing that salamander.
Yeah.
I looked up that pic, the... It wasn't the Gila monster. It was something else that kind of starts like an H, but I looked it up. But I don't know why he was so excited to see that thing, because that thing is not pretty.
Really?
That salamander is not a pretty salamander. I wish I could remember what the name of it was, but it was not a pretty salamander. Mm-hmm. Thinking about all the ecological stuff, there was a lot of ecological facts that he put in there that blew my mind about all the stuff being killed since we discovered that area.
Yeah, that was like several pages of just information
salamanders and the Smokies.
I started mentioning the ecological stuff. So
there were like several pages. There was multiple pages of just straight facts on the
ecological stuff.
And like how like there was like a sickness. I don't know how to describe it, but like that took over like this
type of tree. It was a blight.
It was crazy.
Oh like, yeah, the one that killed all the chestnuts.
Yes.
Exactly. See, I didn't. That's the thing that blew my mind is that those are species of trees that used to, that were American only trees that aren't there anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's extinct.
Which is crazy.
It's just crazy. Simply because of us. Simply because of those trees aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
And then it's continuing to happen to other trees, and it's not just blights, it's smogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that I was like, when I first saw, like, the pages coming up, I was like, oh, God. But, like, it was actually really interesting.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing about it, and it kind of made me upset. I was like, God, like, that's our fault. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's our fault that we're ruining this beautiful, beautiful, like, area of the earth, like. Kind of sad.
All right, so we're back after that.
We took a little break. We
took a little interesting break there. we'll see what we're talking. We were talking about the all the stuff that was going on ecologically.
Yeah, the diseases in the trees. The chestnuts are just gone now.
And how it's our fault too.
Yeah, and there's he said that what the Smokies are nowhere near what they used to be. Sorry, I just moved my foot and it's messed up.
Oh my god, we
just
popped, dude.
Yeah, but like he said that like the Smokies were like half the like beauty of what they used to be whenever like people first came over.
Which is really sad, honestly.
But it still sounded really beautiful,
which is insane to think that it would have been even better all those years ago. The other thing I thought was really interesting that I don't know if this is just because of me and I love history and stuff, just any kinds of history. It was talking about the glacial stuff that has happened to the mountains there and how the mountains have been worn down more than once. That they've worn down, been pushed back up, and worn down, pushed back up, and they're now being worn down for like a third or fourth time. Yeah. The fact that. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anything about the Rockies being that way. I think the Rockies were.
I've never heard of. Mountains being that way. I've never heard of that ever. Yeah. That was really, really shocking to me.
Yeah. Well, I know that that makes sense because most of, like, New York, like, Manhattan especially, built on ancient mountains.
Really?
That's why, I don't know if you look at, like, a skyline of New York, there are just spots of skyscrapers because they can't build anywhere else because those were this like the main downtown area of New York where the Empire State Building, mm-hmm. World Trade Center, all that stuff is built on top of an ancient mountain. Anywhere else around that, the ground does not have enough support to hold such a big building. And so that's why those are only built there. I saw like a cartography graph or something like that and like the ground is like all like soft clay like we have around here now. Mm-hmm. It's like really annoying to do anything with. And then you just have these areas where it's just compact bedrock and hard rock from. So I'm thinking that maybe what that was is that may have been some of the Appalachian Mountains there that were that area from many centuries ago, which is pretty interesting to think about that. Even different areas around the area, it's not always been just that one mountain range. It's been other areas too.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, it's some very interesting history there. The other thing, thinking about the Ice Age thing, is that we're still technically in an Ice Age.
We are?
He mentioned that?
I remember him saying Ice Age, but I don't remember him saying we were still in one.
He said that technically we're still in an Ice Age, and that the Earth usually doesn't... the way the Earth is like made, which I don't know if I don't know if that's true or not, that winter is usually not a normal thing. And that like Antarctica is supposed to be usually jungle. I know that it used to be jungle, but I'm thinking that was like they found fossilized trees and animals there. But everything I've heard about that is that's when it was part of Pangea.
Pangea is like the big
supercontinent. Yeah. Then everything was one together.
Connected, yeah.
So that's the thing. That's the one thing I would love to like hear more about is that we're still technically in an ice age. Winters are not supposed to happen on Earth. Snow and freezing temperatures like that are not supposed to happen.
Dang.
And that technically all that stuff that technically we talk about global warming, even though we aren't helping the situation,
mm-hmm.
that it's a natural thing that technically all that's supposed to melt eventually, no matter what, and become like tropical jungle again. That's the thing that just, I don't know.
Yeah, what, but can what, we survive that?
If it's that's all... the question. That's a good question, because especially around the equator.
Yeah, that'd be really hot.
Yeah, that's.
Because I mean,
I guess that's the
That's the big thing. That's the big thing that I kind of he made me think about is the comparisons with like global warming nowadays and how they say that it's led on by man stuff, but technically in the numbers, it's such the stuff that we do is so it's like 5% of what all that's going on in the world. Like the it's a natural cycle for the polar ice caps to melt, but is it at that extent? Is what really makes me think about it. I don't know what y'all think about that.
Yeah, my mom and dad are both very stubborn, but my older brother, like, he is, like, very open about his opinion. Like, he thinks that he really does think that, like, we are killing this planet, and that in the next 100, 200 years, like, we are not going to be able to live on this planet if we keep doing the things that we're doing with, like, the gas and, like, pollution and that kind of stuff. He really does think that, like, we are not going to be able to survive on this planet. We're going to have to move somewhere else, or we're all just going to go extinct, which is, like, scary to think about, and his philosophy is, like, well, it's after my time. Because he's, like, 30. So he's like, well, after my time, it's y'all's problem.
I mean, really, even after our time. We aren't helping the situation at all. No. I mean, having been in AP Environmental Science this year, I've realized I had a very middle ground view. I did not know where to stand on it. And I kind of was against global warming there for a while. And taking AP Stats this year, or AP Environmental Science, I mean, I realized how much we actually have done to this planet and how much our emissions are... like bad for this planet, and that we are screwing things up. But I think the total numbers are just so minor that it doesn't matter. Do you have any thoughts on that?
On what, the global warming?
Global warming.
Yeah, global warming. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know. I really don't think it's like I don't really think that it's. Real, I guess, but if I were to say it's definitely not as severe as people make it. I mean,
yeah,
no,
like,
not
just
at all.
Now the Midwest was in like the -50s for like what, a week and a half.
And we've had one of the coldest winters we've had in a while, and which is all just natural. All natural because it's a it was a Mordecai El Nino, which causes like the Midwest and the North. It's you know the El Nino La Nina cycles that happen that cause the weather. Well, that's what causes our winters to be either really cold down, like really cold down here and warm up there, really cold up north, or really and really warm down here. Like last year was an El Nino that was like really one of the worst ones in a while that caused like everything to be really warm all over the like the Rockies, especially like reason places like in the Rockies barely got any snow, but like this year was like. I don't know, I came across a video of this, like, back in, like, the fall, it's like a Mordecai El Nino, and it's just a natural thing that happens where it's, like, a lot more snow than it's north than usual.
This is definitely a cold winter, and we talked about it a little bit last episode, but when I was in Seattle, that was, like, the first, like, real snowstorm in, like, 70 years.
Really?
Yeah, like, it hadn't snowed like that in 70 years.
And I think it's been about 70 years since there's been a Mordecai El Nino.
Yeah, it was insane with all the snow. Like, we were driving back. What should have taken like an hour took like 4 to 6 hours
because
you just couldn't see anything, and the roads were just so powdery with snow.
That must have been stressful. Gosh.
Oh yeah, the entire time we're just looking out, and we could see like two cars in front of us, and then could not see the rest of them.
Oh my god!
Well, that's the thing that
gets in an accident.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I've seen videos as early as last
week. Pile up.
Yeah, the pile up on the
Where the guy's sitting in the semi truck.
No
and,
one can see anything.
Yeah.
So they're just going in front, and they
it just looks
they
it looks like a NASCAR
pile up. It's just like 8, 9, 10 cars.
Oh no! Some of those wrecks get 70+ cars usually before
literally,
they stop.
And that makes total sense.
Yeah, because
you can't see
anything
in front of you. It's insane how
and
much.
And that's exactly what they experienced on that part in the trail is not being able to see in front of you. That
that
would freak me out. I would want to stop and hunker down somewhere because I feel like I would just walk and just go right off a cliff.
Yeah, literally.
That would be
I feel like I would just walk right off a cliff doing that. I mean, the fact that you can't see while you're skiing because I've experienced that myself.
Yeah,
people are getting these 70 car pileups. You can't see more than 10 feet in front of you.
Yeah,
and I feel like you would just be walking and just
Yeah, I definitely would not keep walking.
Bye.
Bye.
Especially when he was really on that, careful. Like, really narrow part, like, on the side of the cliff, and, like, he was kind of stuck. Can you imagine, like, he can barely see taking a wrong step and just falling? Like, if he said it was, like, 80 feet, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, that would be so scary.
I don't know if it was in this book or if it was something I was listening to the other day, because I think if it was in this book, I would probably have been, like, had started, like, drifting off while listening to this, like, losing focus, but... I don't know if he said it, but there was something that I heard that there's places, I think it was in the book, there's places like around trees that the snow gets so deep that people, it looks like it's just part of like the normal ground, but it's really just like a 8-foot drift of snow that people will walk into and will fall into and you can't get out of. And they'll literally get stuck in there and they'll suffocate and nobody will find them until the spring. That wasn't this book because he mentioned that there was somebody down on the trail on the trail who that happened to. Some kind of special tree cone or something, tree cone drift or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 8 feet deep and you just walk into it and you fall into it, you can't get out.
That's terrifying. Well,
I saw this one thing about Everest and they called it Rainbow Valley because it's like on a cliff, and if you look down, you can just see a ton of clothes, like bright colored clothes, of just corpses down there.
Yeah, I remember I mentioned that last time about how there's once they get in the inclusion zone, they use like dead bodies as markers. Like I said last time, there's I remember this specifically one that I've seen in a video. There's just a hand just sticking out of the ground.
Oh.
And they use that as like, oh yeah, well there's dead so and so.
Yeah.
He died back in like 80 something.
That's so morbid, Rainbow Valley.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
That's so morbid. And can you imagine, like, your last seconds just
falling?
Well,
and knowing you're gonna die.
Well, I think falling would be a better way to go than that hypothermia. Hypothermia.
The guys that died of hypothermia in the lake or whatever, they said they like just went right to sleep. They were just cold. So I don't know.
Okay, snow or something that can take like hours.
Because they said the way he described it really freaked me out because the way you get there, you feel fine at first, mm-hmm. and then you start feeling hot,
and so you take your clothes off.
That's the last thing. You shiver a little bit, and you shiver mm-hmm. extremely bad. Then you lose track of time. You become delusional, and you make stupid decisions.
Yes, and you think, and, like, oh my God, I'm so hot, I have to take my clothes off.
Yeah, well, that's one of the last things. Your body doesn't know what to do. You're so delusional.
That's so insane. You make it worse on purpose. Like, your body is trying to help you, and it just makes it so much worse.
Well, that's why they find, sometimes they'll find, like, some of these people that have died in the snow, they'll be completely naked.
Yeah, because
they've died of hypothermia.
Desperate attempt, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, that freaks me out. That's just, like, this sounds like so much fun, because, like, even the way Mr. Cleland described going out with those kids, doing those small things, uh-huh. and then coming home with new, I love how he talked about how he came home with new gear, because people have been quitting, and he's just like, so, what do you got for me here? It sounds like so much fun to just go out and camp. I've always kind of wanted to go out and just kind of camp. A
weekend sounds great, but walking the entirety of the Appalachian Trail does not sound like an easy task, to say the least. That's an understatement, but, like, oof.
Yeah, it would be, I think it would just really, like, freak me out, like, just to be going out there and have, like, all that stuff possibly happen.
Yeah, that would be
so
really
many,
scary.
There's so many things that could go wrong. That's the thing, like, and, oh, God, that Rainbow Valley thing really grossed me out. Like, just, and think, like, if you cross a dead body, like, what are you going to do? You know, like...
Especially during, like, the middle of winter or whenever you're up there. That's one of the things I think I would, like, is an essential that I would have. Would be probably a sat phone.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. just a whistle or something.
Yeah.
I would think a sat phone because there's some... Because, like he said, there'll be times, especially during, like, the winter and early summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or winter and, like, early spring, there's nobody else out there.
Very true.
There's nobody else out there. So...
And, like, no matter what time, odds are, for a couple hours, no one's going to find you.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going to stumble across you.
It's like the whole deal with cats. I mean, he just...
Yeah, he just disappeared
terrifying.
Did he say 4 hours?
And it was, like, 4 hours before they found... It was 4 hours that he disappeared before, I think, he even found any sign of cats.
Oh, yeah.
It was at the mud slick.
That's terrifying.
I mean, the fact that cats got that lost... I mean, I don't know how Chicken John survived it.
Oh, yeah, Chicken John was talking about how he always gets lost. He's like, are you sure we're going the right way?
Well, Cat, what, Mill ran into him, and there was literally a, what was it that they called it that was like a white something marker that, on the trees.
Oh, yeah, just to make sure you're on
the Yeah, trail. It was literally like 5 feet away from him, and he didn't see it, and the trail was like obvious, and Chicken John was still lost. So that,
yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, Cats, I don't know how Chicken John made through Chicken it with Cats. Yeah. If Cats got that lost after they went through that whole ordeal, I mean, having gone like 5 miles this way, 5 miles up, well, then 10 miles down, and then like
the yeah, left. Yeah, did you say he like started off, like one day he started off from like a hotel or something,
and then ended up like 30 miles,
and then no, and ended up back at the hotel.
Yeah, something like that. That's
so funny. I was like, you really just went in a circle.
Yeah, he walked like 30 minutes. He said, I think Chicken John said he walked like 30 miles off the trail before he finally realized he was off the trail.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How does a man like that survive?
I don't know.
Luck.
Yeah. Luck.
Imagine that's all the people luck. That were like Chicken John and got lost forever, and no one knows because
most people do not veer off the trail for that very reason. They're afraid that they'll get lost.
Oh, could you? Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine how many people? That's terrifying. Yeah, that's just didn't come out.
Well, I was.
Chicken John ever made it out?
That'd be interesting. I think he said that he did at some point, but. That already dropped out.
I hope so.
But I mean, the man was like 70 something, so I mean, it's not surprising to get lost, but still, just to get lost that many times to get a name for yourself.
Why would you still go out?
Yeah, really.
I guess it's just the love of it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, he did say getting lost made it a lot more fun.
That's true. I did, I don't know what I was listening to the other day, but I was listening to like some stories or something like that of people having like weird stuff going on in like the woods. I don't know how I came across these videos. And, they were talking about it was like a park ranger going out and like having to do lost people stuff, and they said that they tend to, whenever they have people get lost, they tend to find them in almost the exact same spot. Every person ends up in like the same spot. It's weird. Like there's certain areas that people tend to go to, mm-hmm. usually like water holes or something like that. It's just a natural instinct for people to find like a natural area.
That is weird.
And there's other, those stories were also horror stories, apparently, and had some weird stuff. And, like, I don't know if this is probably so fake, but it was really funny. They were talking about stories about how these park rangers would go out and just find staircases in the middle of the woods.
Staircases?
Just staircases in the middle of the woods.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they would go out and they're just full blown carpeted staircases in the middle of the woods leading to nothing.
Oh, no. Me and Custis, when we went to a lake house, my friend's lake house, he has a Polaris. And we'll go drive around in, like, the woods behind the house and stuff. And it's really big. And this one day, we were driving, and we stopped. And we just started to get out and walk. And it was just a ton of trees. There probably wasn't more than 5 feet without a tree right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just walking around. And eventually, we see this one thing. And we're like, what is that? And we get closer. And it's just a truck. Here's a picture. Sorry,
my
podcast listeners. In the middle of the woods, but if you look at the trees, there's really no way it could have gotten there. And then, I don't know if you can see it from this picture.
Dude, that is such
But it's on, like, logs and rocks.
So it
like,
had to really get placed there. Rock.
Yeah. And we're like, how did it even get here? Like, this it's is, like, so all old. The, like, yeah, it's, like, rusty and stuff. And it's, like, all the trees right there. And the tires are, like, gone. There was weird. Not one tire
That's
on
beyond
there.
Old.
Look at that.
That's
well, I know that out of my... Out of my ranch, we have a cab of an old Chevy truck that's just in the middle of our trees. But we know how it got there. It came there in a flood, but that's just the cab. That's a full on truck there that's sitting out there rusting.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, whose YouTube channel was it? I think it was like Mini Lad or something like that. I was watching. He's done an entire series on like horror stories off of like Reddit and stuff. And this one dude had like a 3-part series of these stories, and like 4 stories where he was just out and about, and like one of them was he was being trained and he was out and about and there was just a staircase in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that makes that's no weird. Sense too.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to know if that's real or not, because what I think it probably is probably some artist went out there and just did stuff like that. But just imagine walking. That's the other thing, is just imagine walking on the trail and running into something you don't know what it is.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That would freak me out, because you hear all these stories like Bigfoot and all that kind of other stuff like that.
Oh, no, I hate thinking... Chupacabra. Like, what's that movie where the students go out in the woods and then they
Blair
all die?
Blair Witch Project?
Blair Witch Project, yeah. That
movie, yeah.
I hate that movie for so many reasons. Just, like, going out in the woods, they get lost. No matter what they do, like, they can't find their... Okay. No matter what they do, they can't find their way back. It's just terrible, like... And, like, they find, like, those wooden, like, sticks, like, that are shaped like people, like, hanging from the trees and stuff. And, like, the patterns. Like, if I saw that in the woods, oh my God.
Well, there was that movie that I showed you the other day, The Ritual.
Oh, yeah. You
know, I don't know if you were here, but there's...
guys or whatever.
Yeah, those was just the guys, but
yeah,
there's...
I'm not a...
But there was... I decided to show them the ending of this one movie. It's called The Ritual. These... It's just... It's like this. It's just four buddies mm-hmm. going out to camping in the woods, and they get caught up in this whole just crazy, like, spooky stuff where there's, like, this ritual going on around this massive beast and stuff like that. That would be something that would freak me out, is just the fact that we know this Earth a fraction of what it actually is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We the fact that we've only explored maybe, like, what, 5% of our oceans?
We've explored, like, 5%
of 5% of our oceans, and we may know every continent on this Earth, but we don't know every inch and corner of every forest on this Earth.
No.
The stuff that could be out in the middle of the woods, out in...
Yeah,
even here in Texas, out in the middle of our plains or whatever.
Literally. Yeah, there's like 1,000 species discovered every day, like new species.
Yeah, it's crazy what could be out there. Because, I mean, there could be something... There's all these videos and everything of, Bigfoot and stuff like that, all these reports. Uh-huh. I mean, if it's something like that, they could be as smart as us. And if they're that smart, there's no way we would ever know if they're truly there, because they're gonna hide themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the creepy thing, is the amount of stuff there could be. And the fact that
you're being unknown,
that would scare me even more on the trail sometimes than I would think even the known. Knowing that there's bears out there, knowing that there's moose or there's rattlesnakes, because you can prepare for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you just be one of those people that came across something just totally random and did something like that? That would just freak me out. So, I don't know. I don't know if it would for y'all too, so.
No, that would freak us out.
Weird.
So, all right, well, I think I'm going to end this off exactly where I started it was, now that we've listened to this, would you do it? Would you go out and walk the Appalachian Trail, even if it was just like what they did, where they walked it, skipped somewhat, came back to it later on, and finished a little bit? Would you do, let's say you do the exact same thing, you had the opportunity to do the exact same thing you did, you walked the book with them.
With who? With Cats and Bryson?
No, I would say either yourself. That's another thing. Like,
I would do it with friends.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'd still want to do it, but like I said last time, I definitely wouldn't want to do it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you need to bring that little hammock thing. What's that called?
Eno.
Eno, yeah. Bring that.
I like Kane's idea of putting it inside the tent.
Yeah,
you need to really protect yourself.
That's so smart.
Yeah. I think I would still do it again, but I think I'd be a lot more cautious now.
Yeah, and I would definitely stick. I know that they got separated a lot, but I would try so hard to stick close.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be terrible.
That was the one thing, even though... I don't blame Bryson for leaving Cats behind at times.
Yeah.
But I would not want to leave
towards the end, like, he had no idea.
Yeah,
I would want to stick with my friends the entire time.
Yes.
And even I know I'd probably be the one dragging y'all down at some points, but I would want y'all to stick with me, because I would not want to be left alone.
Yeah.
So if like
at least an eye shot.
Yeah, at least an eye shot of each other.
Oh God. Especially like they would be separated for hours. Hours.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that they didn't get lost from each other sooner, honestly. Like, that they didn't get lost often.
They just had to know that they were following the trail.
That's terrifying.
Chicken John couldn't travel with anybody.
No.
Oh my gosh. In our group, who would have been Chicken John? Who do you think would have been Chicken John in our group?
Stephanie.
Yikes.
Probably. It's kind of funny, because you can go through these characters that are throughout the book, and you can find each person in our group to probably be one of those people. And it's kind of funny.
Who do you think is Cats?
Cats?
Custis.
Custis, you think so?
Yeah, I agree with Laura's on that one.
Who's Bryson?
I don't know who Bryson...
Tony, the Boy Scout.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Tony would be... I'd probably be that one dude, what was that one? There was one of those guys who's talking about, was kind of like Chicken John, that kind of got a name for himself.
Oh my God.
The big dude that went out there and like lost like 40 pounds doing it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, who actually like did the entire trail himself. I think I would probably be kind of like
him. Who's Mary Ellen? Don't say me.
No, well, I don't know.
I
don't think we have anybody that obnoxious.
No.
In our group, there's just no one. Oh God, I hate.
You can be.
Hey,
you can be, but you're not constantly. That's the thing.
That's
you're not constantly obnoxious.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that could be said for anyone in our group. All of y'all
can. That's true. This goes back into the essay we had to write. The prompt number two was like, who would be cats? who of your friends drives you crazy but is still loyal? That's our entire friend group. We all drive each other crazy, but we're still loyal to each other.
Nuts.
Yeah.
We drive each other nuts.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, I think this is a great way to end this two-part series, even though it was only two parts. I think it was a good thing to do. So.
Good two parts. So. Best podcast ever.
Yep. I agree.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and see y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.